Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. My name is Don, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how's this rain, thunder, lightning, and craziness going for you?
Hey, man, I saw a couple people out in their backyard making what looked like an arc, brother. It's whipping through here. There's been three emergency announcements on television about flash flooding here in the Twin Cities, our Minneapolis and St. Paul. Rain pouring, so you know that ground out there, as you know, is really soaked, man. And then a couple rivers, the Crow River, Rum River down there, and towards Rochester and et cetera, as well as even our own Minnehaha is almost over its banks in South Minneapolis. So yeah, so we got some weather going on here, my brother. So. I understand we got a lot of stuff going on. We're getting going to get feedback from Charlotte, from Tulsa, and a lot of questions are being asked of my colleague, Mr. Allen, on St. Cloud. I understand, Mr. Allen, there's some folks not happy with us for raising questions about the terrorist activity in St. Cloud. But so we'll get to all of that, okay? So
And tonight,
don't you have, something to start off, or we want to do a little recognition?
Yeah, of course, here. I would like to let everybody know that tonight's show is brought to you, sponsored, our new sponsor, J&J Cleaning Experts, Carpet and Upholstery. You can find them at jjcarpetclean.com, and they have a special going on, upholstery special for $79 per home. So give Gino a call at 952-261-3324. Again, J&J Carpet Cleaners and Upholstery, 952-261-3324. He'd love to hear from you. And that will be
now, Don, that's 75, that's for every room in the house? That's for the total house?
That's for upholstery, for crayon mud, you know, to clean that couch and the love seats and things like that.
Yeah.
That's just for the upholstery sale. Yep.
Oh, okay. So the carpet is something different, which he has, of course, a standard fee for normally what, square feet? That's normally the way they do it. Okay.
Yeah. Carpet cleaning, two full rooms, one hallway, additional room free for $59.99. And he also has air duct. Yeah. So you get two full rooms, a hallway, and he throws in. So if you got a three-bedroom house or a three-bedroom, you can get the three bedrooms cleaned or the dining room, living room, and then he'll throw in an extra room and for $59.99. And you can request a quote by going to that website, www.jjcarpetclean.com. And he also, Mr. Edwards, does air duct cleaning. You know, 10 vents.
Oh, yeah, that's always important. Yeah, because air ducts are really catchers, if you will. Don, give that phone number one more time.
Okay, that phone number is 952-261-3324. That's the number to J&J Carpet and Upholstery Cleaning. Right here in Minneapolis, a small business, small black-owned business. And
all right. What is that?
What's that?
No, your voice faded out. Your voice faded out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said he uses all the same equipment that Zero Res has. So, you know, you don't have to call Zero Res. You can call J&J Carpet and Upholstery.
All right, then. All right. I've heard some good things about him from sources that talk in terms of his great professionalism and results and et cetera. Okay. Yep. All right, what we got done? A lot of stuff going on, man, across the country. We got problems in Charlotte, North Carolina, if you will. We've got problems in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll be having a report, in-depth report, coming to us from one of our correspondents at 9. So we'll be looking for that. But what do we got going here in our own beloved city, if you will?
Well, I would like to say a couple things. First of all, if you're watching this live stream, you have to go to the Facebook page and click on the Blog Talk Ron and Don Show Blog Talk Radio to hear anything, or else you'll just see my mouth moving and no words. But Mr. Edwards, Mr. Edwards, yeah, that kind of eliminates those people texting you during the show. But you know, I was, you know, speaking of what's going on locally, I was just looking at the newspaper online, and I happened to come across, there's a website, Complex, it's called, complex.com. And it's a major player in news. They put out a lot of things. They quote ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, BBC. And I'm looking
just
here,
like we do. Gotcha.
Just like we do, yeah. And the headline, white man in California shoots cops with a gun, gets shot with beanbags and arrested.
Oh, that must be a
That's
typo.
That's the headline.
That must
no,
be a typo.
No,
you must be misreading that, Don. White man shoots at police, and you mean that police return fire and kill him, right? He's wounded, dead,
no,
or what?
No. They return fire, and they show the beanbag cartridges right here on the site that they shot the cop. The cop shot the guy. Now, this guy, they said he's suicidal. He was suicidal and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's shooting at the police, you know, and they don't blow him away and kill him. They shoot him with beanbags, bring him down, and put him on a gurney and take him to the
Now, was
the
this
hospital.
California or Arizona or which one?
This was actually in California. This was in California.
Okay.
Monday evening in Brea, California. That's B-R-E-A, if anybody wants to Google that.
Yeah, that sounds like out towards Palm Springs, and I do think. Well, wait a minute. But the guy he's firing live ammunition at law enforcement officers, and they use a beanbag?
Yeah, they actually used a beanbag round to subdue him, a couple beanbag rounds. And so one of the comments on here, Mr. Edwards, that just was, it was the irony of everything. It says, so y'all shooting beanbags at criminals and putting bullets in innocent people. That's one of the comments on this story here.
Wow, man, that's a mind blaster. When I heard some of that earlier, I thought maybe it was a mistake. But I noticed with the Afghan terrorists there in New York City, the bomber, if you will,
yeah.
It's like they're finding out more and more that's making folks look a little inept, if you will. Of course, now they're saying that they had him on the radar screen 2 years ago, but didn't believe his father, who said that his son was turning into a terrorist. And they said they didn't believe that. And the FBI discontinued the case. Now we're hearing that, you know, they were right on top of him in a scepter. Yet he left and spent a year in Pakistan, which is interesting. And he spent it in one of the most dangerous cities in Pakistan, if you will, Quetta. And I've been hearing a lot of conversations. As we talked about in the production meeting, we did a lot of coverage at as many of the cable shows as we could call up and et cetera, and watch and monitor with our staff and et cetera. And, you know, I started hearing a lot of black folk saying they just could not quite understand the methodology, the protocol, the approach on how terrorists and this white gentleman out there in California and et cetera, who fired live rounds and engaged the police in gun battles and et cetera. And how come they don't receive those fatal wounds and, you know, fatal hits like unarmed African Americans do? Though I have to say that in the Charlotte, North Carolina situation, they're now saying that the gentleman there got out of his vehicle with a gun in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter and others said it was a book. We assume that after the investigation, Now, we want to keep in mind that the police chief in Charlotte, North Carolina, is a African-American, young African-American chief, pretty well respected. But still, you get this inconsistency. And then after last night's confrontations and et cetera, what, at least 16 police officers injured. I noticed it never gave any injury of the demonstrators, protesters. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I didn't hear that at all. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. But they said 16. I know we're checking, as Mr. Allen and I are talking, we're checking our electronic equipment to see what is happening tonight in Charlotte, if there's been a reoccurrence of the hostilities and confrontations and et cetera. We may have something later on in tonight's program. But what was your take on the New York and New Jersey bombings? I mean, I'm just not quite understanding how this guy fell off the radar.
Yeah, I mean, even like you said earlier, just 2 minutes ago, like his father snitched him out in the very beginning, and they just kind of ignored it. And I'm hearing different news reports. You know, they interviewed some people. They have the first chicken restaurant right there.
In Elizabeth, New Jersey. Elizabeth, New Jersey, that's right. Had it for a number of years, but they – well, go ahead. I'll let you give your observation, and I'll give what intel I've been picking up. Yeah.
And they had some interviews, the BBC and a couple other fringe – well, BBC is not fringe, but some other fringe stations had some interviews, and people were saying that, yeah, you know, the guy just kind of kept to himself, but the food was good, and, you know, they're closed. And it was Hispanic and black Americans that they mostly talked to in that particular neighborhood, you know, and like most of those businesses are ingrained in black neighborhoods. And I don't think they saw it coming. I don't think anybody saw it coming. But I think that he was not on really on any watch list, and I just think this is one that slipped through the cracks.
Another lone wolf like San Bernardino and Orlando and places like that. I think it's important, you know, as far as, you know, for purposes of transparency, we need to point out that the family actually filed a lawsuit in the federal court against the city of Elizabeth, New Jersey, because of what they said was harassment and et cetera. In fact, you figured it had to be some kind of harassment when the city forced him to start his father and the family, because it was a family-owned business. In fact, they live right upstairs over the restaurant. They forced them to start closing at 10 p.m. And, I mean, anything that close to New York City in a city like Elizabeth and them, you start making a person shut down a food place at 10 o'clock, and particularly when they're, you know, they're serving up a pretty popular dish anywhere in the world, chicken. You know what I'm saying? And the family did go into court, but what happened, the system didn't work for them. And I think, you know, not you know, in any way signing off on any kind of terrorist activities or et cetera, but, you know, the family had come here from Afghanistan about, 20 years before or something like that, and thought they were in the land of opportunity and et cetera, and then found out that the people were obstructing and suppressing their right to a livelihood and et cetera. I mean, what is your take? I mean, you know a little bit about the culinary and et cetera. You force a restaurant, you know, a chicken restaurant to close down at 10 o'clock at night? I mean, how do you expect them to survive?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Mr. Edwards. But you know, they had a White Castle down the street, a PDQ, and a couple other places that stayed open well past 10 p.m. I think, you know, and I'm speculating right now, I think that the problem was that this gentleman had a lot of black clientele that would gather at night, and not only black clientele, but culture.
Puerto Ricans, Dominicans.
Puerto Ricans,
And others. Go ahead, Ed, because you're kind of going along the same line that I was as I talked to sources. That because that was the other thing, the complaint allegedly from his neighbors who never showed up at the hearings in the federal court that there was loud music coming from there, you know, and that the place was loud, that the music was loud and the voices and et cetera were loud. I looked at some of the pictures of the particular area. You know, there are a lot of storefronts and sloops and et cetera, as they like to say. And, you know, it wasn't like it was really a residential. It's like one of the older parts of Elizabeth, New Jersey, if you will. You know, row houses, you know what I mean, with a lot of stores and grocery stores and cafes. Now, you were saying, again, there were what kind of white franchises in and around?
White Castle, a bunch of different outlets. I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards, breaking news. One shot during uptown protest over officer-involved shooting. That's just coming in. That came in at 26 Eastern time, and it just came over the wire, and I'm looking at it, and it says that police and protesters carried serious wounded protester into the parking area of the Omni Hotel during a march to protest the death of Keith Scott, September 21st, in Carolina. Scott, who's black, was shot and killed in an apartment complex near the UNC Charlotte by police officers who say they warned Scott to drop a gun he was allegedly holding. But we have one person shot tonight. They don't list his condition, but they do show a picture of folks
hearing him. Let me get clarity because you were giving that one pretty quick. We have an individual shot and wounded in Charlotte, North Carolina, at around 7:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Daylight Time. Is that correct?
Yes, and he was headed to the en route to Carolina's Medical Center at about 8:45 p.m. And he was shot in the area of North College and East Trade Street, according to the medic. And they're saying that there's multiple incidents uptown relating to the situation on College Street, but he couldn't be more specific. And this is from the medic that was interviewed by the Charlotte Observer.
And for the purposes of authenticity and et cetera, could you identify the news service or wire service that is carrying this information? We don't want anyone to say, even though we're way up here in Minnesota, we have our own problems up here, that we were putting out any kind of false information. Could you please identify? I'm trying to get that on our computer here in Studio B, but could you identify the media source?
It was the Charlotte Observer, the main newspaper in Charlotte, like the Star Tribune here in the Twin Cities, who posted that. It was posted, like I said here, looking at the actually timestamp was local September 21st, 2016, 7:26 p.m. The guy was, the timeline shows he was en route, that's Eastern time, en route to the hospital at 8:45. And, the scene turned chaotic. So they're not saying who shot who.
That was going to be my next question, Mr. Allen. Was he shot by snipers or paramilitary, or was he shot by police? But we now have one person shot and wounded in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the edge of downtown Charlotte. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It could be a long night in Charlotte, if you will.
And so that's what they're posting updates. I have the feed going, Mr. Edwards, so something else happens, it will just kind of like break into the screen
and we can
see it.
Right. Well, now back to our bomber in New Jersey, New York. I understand that he is in a induced coma because of his wounds. Remember, they started out by saying he had just been grazed by police bullets, and then later apparently he's been shot in the shoulder, the arm, the leg, and the torso, and et cetera. And so he is in an induced coma, which means the authorities have not been able to interview him, yet the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, that's in other words Manhattan, has said he wants to get him into court as soon as possible. I kind of wonder how you do that, because legally, constitutionally, you can't arraign a person if they are unconscious, because they have a right to be able to respond and have legal counsel. So they really want to get this guy, you know, in and properly charged. Now, he's going to be charged in New Jersey, of course, in Bergen County, where Elizabeth, New Jersey, is located, for the assault and attempt to murder two law enforcement officers, two Elizabeth police officers. But now we want to make sure we get him there in New York, if you will. You know, Donald Trump has said, now, Don, I have to tell you that Donald Trump, you know, kind of your hero there, has said that the guy doesn't deserve any kind of medical attention, and we should do like they used to do in medieval times, you know, just put him on the rack. you know, why didn't people talk like that when Dylan Root, the racist terrorist, they never used that term, did they? I mean, we talked about that quite a bit here on our program. They never referred to Dylan Root. For those that pretend like they don't know who Dylan Root is the white supremacist who murdered in a church, nine African-Americans, including one of the most powerful and popular elected officials, as well as the minister of the church, and with those dual roles, in a brutal manner, if you will. But I never heard anybody refer to Dylan Root as as a terrorist, and I notice he's been getting the best of treatment and et cetera. He did have a near fatal accident when he was he's in segregation there in South Carolina. Not segregation, you know, in the terms of segregating Negroes and things like that, but I'm talking about, you know, in the prison. And he eats and showers by himself because it's such a danger. Man, one of them cats down there was able to lay back in the cut and caught him in the shower, man, and almost killed him. Dylan Root, the man who brought such disdain to white America. You know what I'm saying, Don?
Oh, yeah, but still, Mr. Edwards, they're buying that dude Burger King. He's hungry. They got him Burger King for their circumstance. Hey, we do have a caller, Mr. Edwards.
Oh, get the caller. Get the caller. Let's get him in. Yeah.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. What's your name? Where are you calling from, buddy?
Greetings, Joe. And this is Mr. M.
Oh, Mr. M, how are you doing, sir? Good to hear your voice here. You're early. We're glad to hear that. What's your question?
Yeah, you know, I'm early. I happen to be watching the Minnesota Twins, and I just got tired of hearing Dick Brimmer say what a great at bat Joe Mauer is having by fouling off 20 pitches. You know, I'm like, when
that
did that become
that
the
Dick
object?
Dick Brimmer is one
he's
smooth
terrible.
Racist.
He's
a racist.
Terrible.
Nothing but a racist, man.
I mean, when did that become the object of the game to foul off 20 pitches? I mean, my goodness.
Yeah,
and get paid $20 million to do it, please.
That's right.
Talk about
hit them again,
you know,
Joe. This is a team that's going to lose if they have already. They're going to lose 100 games, you know. And it's the pitching, and nobody talks about the pitching coach, Dick Allen, who had to take a leave because of his alcoholism, but he still kept his job. I found that interesting. Yet he's the pitching coach, and that pitching staff is terrible. Now they're trying to put all the blame on Santana. Now, Don, we're into a little bit of sports quickly because you're talking to a couple guys that know it. I wondered when somebody was just going to get tired of Brimmer and his racism. I mean, he has stayed on Miguel Sano, one of the great future talents. He has stayed on that young man all season long.
All season long. He is.
There's nothing
awful
that Miguel Sano can do that satisfies that white man in the booth. And when he's got that idiot up there with him, the so-called Hall of Fame pitcher, Bert Byleben, who used his relationship with the broadcasting of Twin Games to finally cry his way into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of the most pitiful and unethical things that I'd ever seen. But when you get them two up in there, now when they got Roy Smallard up there, it's a little bit different. And then God help us when Kelly, the former manager, comes up there.
He knows everything that's ever been known about baseball. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. According
everything that's ever been known. Nobody can tell him, you know. He's
nothing.
Just,
yeah. If it hadn't been for Kirby Puckett, they wouldn't have got to either one of them World Series.
He rolled
yet
that all
the they turned
the
their back on
thing.
Kirby when they thought that Kirby had some way or another assaulted a white woman at a club out in Dinah. But Kirby Puckett was – he was exonerated, found not guilty, and et cetera. By the way, what kind of stuff can we pour on Adrian Peterson? He's out for the rest of the year. They're going to have a hard time really, really winning. But I remember him. We talked about it a little bit last year. I can remember 2 years ago when they said that he had brutalized one of his children, that he was the worst Negro that the free world in football ever knew. Am I wrong, sir?
No, they said that, and he said, okay, well, fine, let me out of here, okay?
Right.
I just go
didn't
somewhere
do that,
else.
Though,
he wanted out of here in the worst way, and I don't think he's ever recovered from what they did to him in that sequence of events. I mean, think about it. Here's a guy that's a professional, and all of a sudden now he's got a felony record. He's been treated and posted around the world as some type of a criminal.
Yes.
And you think that's
actually a child
him?
Assaulter, a child molester. I mean, that's the way they –
yeah,
they handled him, and people like Mark Rosen and them were saying he should be let go. Now, they are going to let him go next year because he has a $6 million payment coming, and Mark Rosen already said tonight on WCCO, the People's Station, that no team is going to honor that kind of agreement with a running back coming back from a knee problem. I said, listen to him, making sure they take the Wolves off the hook. And I tell you, man, the Wolves are some of the greatest and luckiest people alive. I mean, All 8 games sold out. They've already got 25, 30 million in the bank.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Dang.
We haven't played a game yet, so we'll see. Haven't played a game yet, so this year. But I was listening, you know, to your other comments, and I tell you, you know, there's so many things going on. It's almost, you know, it's like a Ferris wheel. I mean, this thing is just keeps turning, and you don't know where it stops. Just keeps going. But as far as the, you know, the St. Cloud's very sad situation and being, you know, the ISIL and these terrorists. But you see, my main concern right now is the terrorists right here. Because, see, the ISIL and those people, when I go out my door, I don't have to worry about them. I don't have to look around the corner and see if they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look around and see if the police is around. Mm-hmm. See, those are the people that I'm concerned about. I mean, that's my priority of concern. I mean, the people, the ISIL people, the you know, we haven't done it. Black people haven't done anything to them. They're not, they don't have, no, as far as I see, they don't have any beef with black people.
It's kind of like what Muhammad Ali said, isn't it, back in the 1960s. Didn't know Viet Cong called me an NIG. Yeah, a lot of people should have a better understanding of just what is happening here. We're going to be getting at 9, we're going to be getting a updated report from Tulsa, which is also on the verge of exploding. They've been working hard all day in Tulsa to try to keep a lid on. But now with the word coming out that my colleague, Mr. Allen, has already picked up off the wire service that and I'm pretty sure it was an African-American, has been shot and wounded in Charlotte. Mr. Allen pointed out that it was interesting that they're not saying who shot the individual. But you got to figure that that's going to just bring everything to a fever pitch in Charlotte. And with a series of vigils going on right now in Tulsa, you just kind of begin to wonder how many more cities are going to blow up.
Well,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, the white folks want to tell black people, you know, well, slavery was a long time ago. Look at how well you're doing. We've got a black president. We're blah, blah, blah. Why don't you get past it? And you know what? We've tried to do that. I think people really, really want to move on from the negatives. Okay, even though the negatives are so – I mean, once you beat somebody so bad, is there a point of I can say, oh, I still love you, as you keep denying me housing, denying me education – deny me, go over to the war and fight for a country that won't fight for you.
Denying me justice. Yes, yes.
Still treat it like
you're absolutely correct.
You know, so, I mean, we've tried to move on. But see, what happens is they keep killing us. So that keeps opening up that scab that won't heal. They won't let it heal. See, if they really made the effort, you know, to try. Let's show what we're really trying to do here. Let's reform this police staff. Let's change that mentality that they're overseers. They're not overseers anymore. Let's change that. This, you know, Donald Trump, you know, stop and frisk. He wants to bring that back. I understand.
He talked about it this afternoon. He has called for it, and there are a number of senators in the Republican side who said they think it's a great idea. Here's my take on that, William. Stop and frisk never really stopped, irrespective of the federal court decision
That's
in New York City, which
was the epicenter
of the litigation. I'm a federal monitor, okay, and as it pertains to the MPD, and you know, stop and frisk is going on all over the metropolitan area. I don't know what makes white folks think that we black people don't understand what is happening to us and how we are being handled. Just because they are now, you know, suppressing and smothering factual news and et cetera does not mean that we do not have a network. You know, we are like our Native American brothers who are two groups of people on two separate continents but who have the same method of communication and et cetera, the great drums, if you will. And people talk like, you know, they know what they're talking about. Yeah, well, the white folks stopped the stop and frisk. I said, are you kidding?
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, they want to protest for Kaepernick, you know, that he's not honoring the servicemen and he's not disrespecting the servicemen. And, see, they're flipping the script on that, see, because – the servicemen, they fought and gave their, in some cases, gave their lives for us to have freedom.
And by the way, those were service personnel of all colors, persuasions, and religions.
All colors and persuasions.
That's right. In fact,
right.
I tell my associate, Mr. Allen, that I periodically have to remind idiots that actually one of the first people that day on the Boston Commons that fell in defense of freedom and democracy was a Negro by the name of Crispus Attucks.
Right.
You don't even hear much about him unless you have a black historian who mentions it. These folks, they could not tell you in the name of patriotism who was the one of the first to fall for what became the founding of this republic. And I don't know who these people think were people with the 9th and 10th Cavalry dying to hold the West, if you will, for the Republic and et cetera.
Yeah.
These courageous cavalrymen and et cetera. And I definitely don't know who they thought were flying those aircraft from a training program at a place called Tuskegee. I don't, you know.
From my perspective, what dishonors the service people is the hate and bigotry that persists in spite of their service, in spite of them giving their lives, in spite of them fighting tooth and nail to have it and to come back, and it's still there. This is what Kaepernick is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why people can't understand that.
It's really, Mr. Edwards, it's funny you bring up Mr. Attucks, because I was in a group of black people, supposedly black scholars, and I know you remember Professor Keith Mays.
Yes, I remember, University of Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
So the chair of the African American Studies Department, who was very thorough in making sure that when I took his class, I understood every bit of history he was talking about. Well, there was a story that was told about Mr. Attucks when he was a slave, how he ran away, and his owner did not see him until that fatal day when he fell. Wasn't the first person to fall before the war started. And I was telling these people this story, and they swore up and down that I was making up some fantasy. That no, that couldn't.
No, is that right?
No. Yeah, they couldn't accept that. I said he was not always a free man. I said he had ran away from his plantation, and just so happens in his history that when his old owner saw him, it was right before he was killed. And
killed by British muskets in Boston Commons Square. Yes, sir. Dr. Mays was one of those that talked about that. What you're saying, Mr. Allen? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He broke it down, and so it was pretty interesting. And just to your point and M's point, it's funny how little. People know and understand about our history and what's going on, because we have these issues all the time. The servicemen, the veterans talk about these young kids on campus fighting to have unisex bathrooms on the floor where girls and guys can go in, and the veterans are turning around and says, that's not really what we fought for. You know, we fought for freedoms, but that wasn't one of them.
Right.
So, but I'll leave that alone. You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
So,
Anyway,
we do have a caller, Mr. Edwards, that's live on the air. M, if you just want to hang with us, it is 903.
All right,
M, why don't you
hang with us? I think this is a call updating us on Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just going to give you a little bit of an update about what's going on today. And I didn't know if you knew or not, but apparently tonight they're having a vigil for justice in Tulsa.
Okay.
At a church, Metropolitan Baptist Church. And as Mr. Edwards already talked about a little bit earlier, they're trying to keep a lid on. I think that's one of the reasons they're having this. But and then also earlier today, I didn't know if you saw this on the news or not, but apparently Al Sharpton, along with Mr. Crutcher's family, held a little news conference, and they're calling for a National Day of Justice.
Okay.
Coming up on the 27th of this month.
Of September?
So
okay.
September, so that'll be on a Tuesday.
Oh, Okay.
And yeah.
A week from yesterday, actually. Absolutely. Yeah, yesterday the 20th. Okay. Now,
yeah,
Reverend Sharpton
yeah.
is already in Tulsa. I had a chance to watch the deceased's twin sister, who is a doctor, forceful, strong, and, of course, a very intelligent lady. Really caught the attention of America during the day, gentlemen, with regard to the circumstances leading to the death of her twin brother. You know, has there been any reflections in Tulsa today on the comments made by the helicopter police pilots who made a real bad remark just as the deceased was being killed by calling him, he looks like a bad dude?
Yeah, I called him a bad. Well, see, that's one of the things that the family was upset about also.
Uh-huh.
Here's a guy in a helicopter flying around at least 200 or 300 feet off the ground calling somebody he looks like a bad dude. So I'm trying to figure out exactly, was it the car that he was driving, the SUV that made him, was it his clothing? Was it that he had his hands up and he was walking? I'm trying to figure out exactly what was it about Mr. Crusher that made him make that comment.
Now,
I'm confused.
The color of his skin, could it?
Yeah,
God forbid, in America.
No. Yeah.
So your narratives are correct. First of all, the car, maybe he was in the wrong neighborhood, but that couldn't be either because he has a right to travel.
Yeah.
That's a good point you make, sir. Was it his clothing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was his shoes. Maybe he had gangster shoes on or something.
maybe that was it,
Plainly visible hair.
Yeah. And then also...
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, too, that the other thing, of course, that the family was upset about was the terrorist incident up in New York and how this individual in New York somehow got in a shootout with police and is alive today, yet her brother seemingly not doing anything to threaten the police is now dead. And I think those were the two main issues that they were having.
Particularly the inconsistency, gentlemen.
Yeah.
As I understand it, when the police officer in her initial report, Mrs. Shelby, or her name is, indicated that he was reaching into the car, and as Attorney Crump and others pointed out, there was blood all over the window, starting at the very top of the window. So after he reached inside and was shot, he, in the tradition of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, he must have taken time to roll the window back up, except from the helicopter and the pictures they were taking, he seemed to be immediately on the ground. Sir, how much discussion have you picked up from there in Tulsa, the fact that they let him lay there for about 3 or 4 minutes before anybody gave him any first aid? By the way, his sister certainly clarified something because the authorities said he died at the hospital. His family member said he died right there on the spot. Sir, are you picking up anything on that in Tulsa?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people are upset about that. And, I mean, obviously the family's also upset. But yeah, that's been a part of the discussion that's been going on. And anybody, I mean, it's fairly graphic to look at. But, I mean, you could see there seemed to be quite a bit of blood there. Anybody who looked at that video, it was pretty obvious that he died right there on the street.
In other words, in investigations, he was already bleeding out, right?
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
Okay. He bled out. What is the itinerary? I know they're having the event tonight. Hopefully that peace will be fairly maintained, but then after the shooting, my colleague Mr. Allen has already intercepted a communication out of North Carolina that one person has already been shot tonight as an outgrowth of what started out as, if I'm correct, started out as a peaceful demonstration, and then gunfire erupted, and We really don't know how many people have been shot. If I could ask my colleague, Mr. Allen, do you see anything additional on the website or anything at this point?
Yeah, well, it now says one fatally shot during Uptown protests. It says one fatally shot during Uptown protests. So they've changed the headlines a little bit. Let me just go back there.
They're saying the person was shot by another civilian.
Okay,
wow.
I'm looking at the Charlotte Observer. They don't have that specificity
that's CNN
right now.
That's CNN.
Yeah, I am.
CNN, we are now switching in our studio to CNN. Caller out of the Midwest, what are your computers showing at this particular point? Can you help us? Him apparently is picking up the necessary information. Here it is, Don Lemon. You know, good old Don. He's got the right headline. New protest in Charlotte after fatal police shooting. Which fatal police shooting is he talking about?
Yeah.
WSOC in Charlotte. Again, gentlemen, and for our listening audience, both nationally and internationally, WSOC in Charlotte is apparently, gentlemen, now reporting. Wow. Oh, this is the mayor. They got the mayor on. Okay. The mayor is indicating that they are asking for support from other law enforcement officers in and around Charlotte. I'm also receiving a text message out of North Carolina that says that the governor is being asked to put the North Carolina National Guard on full alert.
Oh, man.
Hey, here comes Don Lemon talking about, have you spoken to the chief of police? I mean, she's the mayor, chief executive of the city. I assume that she has spoken to him. CNN seems to be... Oh, you're absolutely right, Em. Here's a person killed at Charlotte protest by another civilian. How would you know that? What happens if it was a police officer in plain clothes?
Yeah, what do you make of that? So, you know, it's hard to...
Right. We get back to our caller out of the Tulsa situation. Are you detecting anything beginning to erupt in Tulsa, sir, at this particular point?
No, not at the moment. I think one of the things they're just having... apparently, they're probably just going to have protests, it looks like, daily. Now, they're calling for the police officer to be charged. And also, one of the other things I want to comment on that particular shooting, too, was, that particular officer, if you listen to the other officers there, they thought that Mr. Crutcher was going to be tased. And they assumed that that's what happened to him when he fell down. That he was actually tased, that he got the taser. But apparently, I guess, I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Obviously, she overreacted, but it seemed like the other officers thought that was what would be prudent at that time for him to be tased, not shot.
Oh, so, we are hearing the same thing, that he allegedly, the white male officer, because all four of the officers were white, fired his taser, apparently even actually over her shoulder, which, of course, I guess could have made her skittish, if you will, and she then fired. But my understanding is it didn't make any difference because the video that they're not showing shows Mr. Crutcher with his hands still in the air, if you will. I'm not even sure that the taser hit him, but she sure did. Gentlemen, additional from... from Charlotte, North Carolina, as we said just minutes ago, the governor has been requested to send in the National Guard. They say there are gun battles now going on along the freeway. They say one officer has been injured already tonight. I assume there's probably been more, but we know that there has been a fatality. By the way, they are saying that black gunmen are now firing on our on citizens. That's interesting. Don Lemon asking about resources in Charlotte, North Carolina. Caller, I understand you also texted me earlier today to indicate that there is questions to us here about what happened in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and what are you hearing down there?
Well, I was wondering about, are there any tensions there? I mean, what's the reaction there to the incident? From what I understood, there was supposed to be some type of show of unity, something in St. Cloud, but apparently there's a restaurant where someone is excluding Muslims or something from a restaurant. I wasn't sure.
Yes,
exactly.
That's a restaurant about 40 miles south. Now, the St. Cloud is about the exact distance north. But at a cafe, a family restaurant in Lonsdale, Minnesota, a owner there of a family restaurant has indicated by posting it, which allegedly is against the law, gentlemen, in the state of Minnesota. He has posted a sign and has confronted a group of imams that came down allegedly from Faribault, which is just a little bit to the north. And he has indicated that Muslims will not be served and should not attempt to enter his place. And I do understand to your question that they're contrary to what the Star Tribune, the Minneapolis major paper, said in this morning's edition, that there have been threats, and the security forces at St. Cloud University, which is a fairly large-sized university. Mr. Allen, what, about 14,000 at St. Cloud in enrollment there? If I'm not mistaken, either you or my numbers say about 14,000 there attending
that
university.
Yep.
There is concern that there are, there are a couple white supremacist groups, sir, up around that area. That's a good, strong German population up there, right, gentlemen, from Minnesota? And the population up there is pretty upset. But there's been conflict between African-Americans and then later Ethiopians and now the Somalis for about 20 years. And, in fact, one of the reasons that they have a black police chief in the city of St. Cloud was one of the most outstanding law enforcement officers in the state of Minnesota, was that the current mayor was attempting to alleviate some of the tensions between the communities of color and at one time was an all-white police department. Chief Anderson has began to integrate that department, and I think he's hired, I know his deputy is an African-American, and then he has hired at least two African-American officers. I think the complement of the police department caller is about 60, maybe 65 officers, if you will, maybe a little bit more than that. But there is tension. In fact, we are anticipating, as a monitor, we are anticipating a retaliatory action over the next couple of days against the Somali community in that area. And this comes at a time when there are serious problems right here in the city of Minneapolis. We are, as I said, about 40 miles south of St. Cloud. We've had two major confrontations, which have not been reported. Gentlemen, Mr. Allen, my associate, have not been reported by the major white newspapers here. We had two serious confrontations on the 11th and the 12th, one in the streets just on the edge of downtown, and then there was a pitched battle at the Mall of America, the largest mall in the United States, or in the world, actually. There was a pitched battle between Somalians and security forces. Never reported. We mentioned it on this program a week ago. People were shocked. And that's when M was the one that broke that news that the governor of our state, Mark Dayton, had asked for a federal investigation and possible federal action against agitators and possible terrorists who were involved in the attack at the MOA at the Mall of America. And we first broke that story. Em, again, congratulations to you for being on top of your electronic operation, that the governor had done that. Now, the papers, gentlemen, stayed silent on that. They did not say anything. We checked the next day, Thursday morning, and the governor's office confirmed that the governor had asked for federal assistance in the investigation. And I'm not so sure, caller, that that a federal grand jury is now taking a look at what is going on. That's how tense things are here. Oh, by the way, and we had indicated we would speak this publicly if you were able to give us a call. Gentlemen, do you remember the Somalian cafe in East Grand Forks that was torched and burnt down a couple months ago?
Oh.
Yeah, there was a Somalian cafe. There's a very small Somalian population up there. They work at the sugar beet plants. We have a couple real big sugar beet plants up and around Grand Forks and East Grand Forks, East Grand Forks being in Minnesota, Grand Forks in North Dakota, right across the river from each other. And Somalis had opened a restaurant up there and had kind of gotten on the bad side of some of Billy Bob's. And they had told them to get out. Somalians didn't believe them. Turned to the attorney general here in the state of Minnesota, and et cetera. Next thing you know, I think it was January, there was a big fire, and their cafe burned down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And but there are threats now in St. Cloud. I mean, it was great, the headline in this morning's edition of the paper. But the fact of the matter is, gentlemen, they are real nervous, the Somali community and others, and African-Americans also. In fact, we had a black minister, Mr. Allen. You and I talked about his situation about 2 years ago. We had a black minister up there because he was running around chasing the young black women more than he was taking care of God. But they ran him out of St. Cloud. Billy Bob told him he had to go.
And
he had to limp on back down here.
America, I have some audio from that and the video that I'm going to post online.
I'm sorry, speak up a little bit, Mr. Allen. I think we're having a hard time hearing you. You need to speak in. You've been accepted what?
Yeah, I have a video shot by Bobby Lussie, who just shot it to me via email. He actually has footage from the Mall of America and what was going on there with the Somali community and all the Somalis are running through the mall, and it's just, let me just play a little bit of it.
Wow.
That's turned up. That's as loud as it gets, but they're just running
go
through
ahead.
The mall.
Well, kind of narrated for us, for our listening audience.
Okay, they're running through the
mall.
You have a white guy carrying his baby. You have security guards kind of pointing people at a direction, asking them to kind of walk a certain way, like toward the doors. I see five Bloomington police officers in the crowd in this particular shot. And there's white women walking up to the police officers. And they're just kind of pushing their way through the mall. And
and these are Somali activists.
It's unclear who they are because there's men, women, and children. And Somali men, women, and children, and it's just a bunch of folks. And I'm actually gonna post it on Facebook so that M can whittle his way around to the my page and look at the first post, and so he can look at it for himself. So he can analyze it, but it's just carnage. It's up. It's up right now. So.
Let me also say this to our caller from the Midwest, from Oklahoma. We posted on our television program here this past Sunday, and this is for you and others here. We were able to acquire video of the pitch battle fought between Somali protesters and et cetera. Removing a individual from the stage, he had to flee in safety in police cars. But we posted on my television program here in the Twin Cities the actual pitch battle, including the throwing of bottles, gasoline bombs, and everything else at police, concentrating basically, which was shocking, and we kind of mentioned that again last week. At police officers of color. Now, we only have six Somali officers on our police department here in Minneapolis of the 850 sworn officers. only 6 of them are Somalis. The other 50-some are African Americans. But we posted on our program, Gentlemen, Sunday, the footage of the battle in which officers of color were being attacked, though later they wound up hitting a couple of white officers in the face and the head with bottles and et cetera. Our major newspapers, the Minneapolis Star Tribune and the St. Paul Pioneer Press, never reported. In fact, gentlemen, the incidents of the 11th and the 12th were first reported a week ago tonight on these blog radio programs with my associate and myself. But I just wanted to say that we posted the pictures. We asked the question after last Wednesday's program of the Star Tribune why they had not posted this information, because there's a lot of information they haven't been posting, including a federal investigation that has been reopened of circumstances leading to the destruction of the African American Police Officers Association that ultimately led to a $750,000 settlement. But I don't know, there are some peculiar things, and I'm like my associate, Mr. Allen, I'm continuing, and I'm getting some additional text messages from out of North Carolina. They may be ready for a serious explosion that has already happened, because we already, and this is now absolutely being confirmed, and there has already been one fatality. They're trying to make it appear that it, you know, was a domestic kind of thing, gentlemen, you know, whatever that means. But, sir, we hope that we've answered some of the questions, but, again, we're not going to, and I can only speak for myself as pertains to this. My colleague, Mr. Allen, will certainly speak on his own. But we are facing great danger in St. Cloud and here in the Twin Cities because there has been a call by white radical groups to take a firm action and to fly the flag, if you mean. That's usually a code word for killing some Negroes.
Yeah.
And by the way, we want to remind everyone that we see no one saying anything about the 6 African-Americans who were a part of the Ferguson demonstrations who have been murdered in the St. Louis area since 2014. And we appreciate the caller from now calling out of the Midwest.
Okay.
For bringing us the information on that. I know I have all week been trying to get people to at least speak up, particularly in that I'm not hearing anything from Black Lives Matter on anything that's happening around the country. Have you, gentlemen, maybe I could correct me, have you heard any postings, any comments, any press releases by Black Lives Matter anywhere in the United States?
No.
You know, curiously, no. I mean, this is M speaking now, and I haven't heard anything on the national, certainly nothing on the local level about what's going on in the Twin Cities. So I think it's pretty curious by their silence. You know, these are the things that you would think would, kind of rouse their interest, but I've heard nothing.
By the way, hold, gentlemen, if
yes.
I could, the governor of the state of North Carolina has just issued a statement. CNN, you know, that's a good white network, so you know it's authentic. The governor is issuing a statement in which I think he is preparing to indicate the availability of troops. Of course, Barack Obama can federalize those troops at any point and put them under regular Army command. Am I correct, Mr. Allen? You're a former military man.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And you know what? He just probably needs to go ahead and do that now because, you know, these are National Guard troops and, you know, they're a big part of the community because they come from the community. They go to college with people, work in businesses with people. And this is going to be kind of stressful. And
very stressful. I just had another text message come in and say you gentlemen are absolutely correct. That situation in North Carolina is very dangerous, if you will. We have just switched to MSNBC, showing riot troops or riot police and et cetera. And MSNBC is also reporting significant gunfire.
Interesting.
Oh, here's the mayor again. She's everywhere. She said they're trying to restore order. Gentlemen, I think we all know as African Americans what that means, including, and we are certainly aware that the race and background of our caller. from there. I don't know. Tonight could be a very difficult night for America.
That's what it looks like. And, you know, the news networks are just going haywire. I have them on here on my side on the studio. And you got everyone from MSNBC with live coverage, CNN, even Fox News is spinning it their way. So kind of interesting what's happening on these different news coverages. But you just wonder.
Hold it just a minute. The mayor is trying to give us a description of who was just murdered.
Okay.
Yeah. She's stumbling over it. Oh, she says she doesn't have any information. Listen to this. Gentlemen.
And we do not have updated information on that either. I know that there was an arrest last night during the protests. There are others that are pending based on some of the fallout from last night. I do not have numbers for tonight.
And Mayor Roberts, are there any executive actions that you're considering taking in your capacity as mayor to address what's going on there tonight?
Well, we're in active conversation with our police chief and our fire chief as to whether we need additional resources. We have been in communication with our state troopers who are at the ready.
Gentlemen, that is the mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, talking in terms you just heard the question asked of her, are there any executive actions planned? I think all of us who have enough background in security and et cetera know that that means are you prepared to declare a state of emergency? I hope you were able to hear. Were you gentlemen able to hear it?
Yes, I was.
Uh-oh, Justice Department is sending somebody in. I wonder what that's worth.
Sure.
She's talking about community policing. Listen to it, gentlemen, just a second.
To our strong tradition of dialogue and of working to get back to that time of peace and real dialogue where we can move us forward.
Are you giving any consideration to a possible curfew tomorrow?
Certainly, we will have discussions. We have to see, you know, what the...
Gentlemen, if I could narrate for you, the message just flashed across the screen about 8 minutes after we had announced it here. The mayor is indicating that the National Guard is at the ready if needed. Okay. Information that we were made aware of almost 10 minutes ago. In fact, the National Guard, some units have been called, and these are units basically in the Smoky Mountains of North Carolina, them with good old country boys, have already been called to their armories and are beginning to deploy towards Charlotte, North Carolina. I repeat again, mayor now confirming National Guard at the ready, if needed. Well, that means a whole lot of Negroes will be shot tonight.
Oh, yeah. In a hot minute.
Yeah. You know, gentlemen, I found it interesting that what you call it from MSNBC asked the question of how many have been arrested and what's the situation. She said we arrested some people last night. My clock tells me that the situation currently in which now National Guard are being ready, that just happened as my colleague Mr. Allen reported. That's what you call skirting, if you will, you know. Gentlemen, any questions of our caller from the involved in the Tulsa situation? Do we have any additional questions for him?
No, I don't. I appreciate the thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering what may have happened to the officer. I would imagine the officer is on the standard administrative paid leave and, you know, is sequestered in a bunker somewhere.
The caller in Oklahoma, can you indicate or confirm to us what is the status of the officer, the white female officer? I think we've lost our caller.
Yeah,
Yeah, but he feel free to call back. But what he had texted me as we were talking is that she is just as you said, Em. She is on a paid administrative leave. She did give a statement to apparently, interestingly enough, to the chief the Internal Affairs Unit and the mayor earlier today giving, quote-unquote, her side of what happened. Yeah.
None of that has been released as to what she said at this point. I mean, they say she said
and,
I don't know what it is.
Absolutely. In fact, we tried to ask our caller from that part of the country if there was anything specifically that he could provide us with regards to what her cover story is going to be, because, see, she initially, in her initial report, which we discussed this afternoon with sources in Tulsa, including this caller that we had online, she said that the brother had put his hands inside the truck. But as Attorney Crump pointed out, that would pretty much been an impossibility, in that there was blood all up and down the window. And when you look at the pictures from the helicopter, you can see the reflection of glass in both windows, the back and front windows of the SUV, because it had nothing but blood, because he bled all over. She must have hit him with a shot in the head, because I noticed they have not indicated. And when the caller from Oklahoma indicated that you could see the amount of blood, and sources also confirmed that he clearly bled out while he was laying right there on the ground, I'm pretty sure she hit him with a headshot.
Boy. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what? As I hate to put on a conspiracy hat, you know, at this point, but what comes to mind is the idea of when you have so many things happening at once. You know, there's so many balls in the air. It kind of opens up the space for someone else to come in and do something really big. I mean, am I making any sense with that comment?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And by the way, let me just say, because we're looking at MSNBC has just shown a picture of an African-American who was just shot. I'm talking about separate from who was shot and killed, was clearly hit by police gunfire, and the man is falling and stumbling and trying to get up and et cetera. Now, the mayor just got through saying, and it's on point what you're saying, Em. The mayor just got through saying it looks like the crowds are beginning to reduce. Yeah, right. And we're looking at live coverage here in studio. And, man, there is so much tear gas and gunfire. And, oh, I start to see what we had in Ferguson, gentlemen. I'm seeing white police coming in from other jurisdictions outside of Charlotte. And I'm looking at tear gas exploding all over the place. But the mayor just said on national television that things were starting to subside. Yeah, right. Also, messages are being texted that a convoy of National Guard troops are moving towards Charlotte. Wow. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Em. Your continued observations are much appreciated.
Well, you know, again, when you just have so many things going on at once, you know, it presents such a chaotic thing. You know, I can remember back in the late 50s, early 60s, as these things began to be televised. I mean, these same scenes that I'm looking at now, I mean, you had your Bull Connors, I forget what that guy named, that other guy in Birmingham, he was a real terrible, L.C. Crocker. And you saw all this on TV, and then there was always this undercurrent of, well, that the blacks are kind of networking with the communists.
Yes, the communists, yes. That was great. In fact, at one point they had Martin Luther King Jr. labeled it as communist, which is one of the things that ultimately led to the conspiracy to assassinate him at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, because he was a commie. He was a commie rat, a dirty commie rat. And then, of course, when J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI played the tapes of allegedly of Dr. King in a hotel room in Philadelphia involved in extramarital situations, a lot of so-called Christian-leaning whites said that was enough to sign his death warrant.
Good evening, everyone. We are interrupting your regularly scheduled.
Okay. Yeah, I was just looking at, they got some streaming going on. But, yeah, it's getting crazy. They have a line of police, Mr. Edwards, at one end of this block.
I'm looking at it also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. You're probably getting this from
They got the choppers up.
God help us if they bring in the Blackhawk.
And he's dead, was killed in these protests, and we have confirmed that that was civilian on civilian violence.
We know that a total of 3 people were transported, and one of those, the fatality that Beth just mentioned. We were looking at video now of a police line there. This was at the epicenter, and we saw emotions fly high.
The epicenter here, right. Yeah, I do not abide based on what we're all hearing and text messages coming in. Charlotte is on the verge of a total explosion, and I've just got a text message back from our friend in Tulsa saying that that there is concern because there are some individuals that have been talking in terms of let's join Charlotte kind of thing. That has become the rallying cry. I understand similar kinds of cries now, gentlemen, are coming out of places in the immediate vicinity of Tulsa, in and around, if you will, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, St. Louis, Memphis, if you will, folks talking in terms of coming to the aid of their African-American brothers and et cetera. So this is something that Donald Trump and them wanted. They may get their wish tonight in America.
Well, you know, this, I don't know, these kind of things can really sway, you know, an election one way or the other. I don't know. I mean, these all this unrest and all of this really, you know, the law and order type of leanings. Well, I mean,
you're absolutely correct, and we cannot lose sight of what is happening here in the Twin Cities. I mean, we've been, you know, trying to be good journalists, Stalin and myself, by talking in terms of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Charlotte, North Carolina. We repeat again where there has already been a fatality, where they keep saying that it was a civilian shot by another civilian. Him and myself, and you also, Mr. Allen, who are out of a different age group, well know the many conspiracies that took place in the 1960s in which the government was involved in the murders of civil rights activists and black people and et cetera, and the role that they played, the different pro-intel programs, the different kind of programs that they had. You know, when you tell me that it was a civilian that shot another civilian, I mean, you know, how do we know that?
Yeah, and then under what circumstances? Did they have a beep? I mean, by accident, by, you know, I mean, that's really not saying anything to me. I mean, just hearing that. And I, again, this whole thing of all going on at once, I mean, I don't know. This is scare tactic.
Let me just cut in, if I could. Interesting breaking news. This is very interesting. I think you can hear it. Female officer injured in protests. That's interesting, isn't it?
Officer.
Oh, they're showing a police officer who has also now been injured, may have been shot, and the white woman, I'm sorry, the white commentator. Let us put it on the air.
Hard to tell. It could be her leg that was injured. She was being assisted by two medics, and it looks like they're going to be putting her in a wheelchair and obviously taking her out for some treatment. Just in the last, we're going to try and give you guys a closer look of her getting treated here. They're taking her away. Obviously, they're going to take her for medical treatment.
Wow, that's interesting. A single officer is injured, and we get national coverage. Well, what about all the protesters that you're going to tell us about later on this morning that have been injured? I mean, wow. It's something you said early on, Em. I mean, how do you get the coverage? martial law has been declared. State of emergency has been declared in Charlotte, North Carolina. Anyone on street subject to arrest. That's pretty broad and sweeping, gentlemen. We predicted it here 20 minutes ago. It is now confirmed by the news media. A state of emergency has been declared in Charlotte, North Carolina. I thought they had everything under control.
Well, we continue to turn this clock back, you know, on race relations or any progress in this country. We continue to go backwards. We continue to backslide. And I mean,
yes.
And I just think that the wounds, the ongoing, you know, treatment of people of color. I mean, I just think it, you know, it has a boiling point. I mean,
well, let me remind you of this. Mr. Allen, you're still with us, clearly, unless we have any call. And we've been kind of remiss. If there's any people trying to hold to get through, we need to shoot them through. Gentlemen, I remind both of you, and this is part of a conversation that I heard today at a rather interesting level and something that I heard yesterday in a security meeting. We need to be reminded, and oftentimes our Somali and other brothers of color, sisters of color, need to be reminded of what happened to Japanese Americans in this country in January of 1942. Every Japanese person was rounded up in this country and sent to the most depressed areas, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and Minnesota. There was an internment camp down there on the Minnesota River by Shakopee. In fact, at one time, during the days that you and I were younger men, if you will, there was even a marker down there and memorializing the Japanese who were interned and some who died in the harsh conditions down there. This country has forgotten, and a lot of black folk have forgotten, what happened to the Japanese. Everything was seized. They never recovered their property, their assets, their monies, their businesses, and et cetera. They were confiscated, given to Caucasians, particularly in places like Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles. And people don't know that history, gentlemen, that this country will close you down based on race, and they will take you and they will remove you and they will incarcerate you and intern you and put you in a concentration camp. And we have forgotten that history. And the culture of Japanese is different than ours. They are very kind of quiet people and et cetera, but there are many who are now, you know, quietly passing over to the other side. I mean, it's been 70 years, but they still feel the pain of what happened to them, because there were many of them that thought what? That they were good Americans. And I just wanted to remind us. Do both of you gentlemen remember the history of the internment of the Nishi Americans, or the Nishi, as they were called, Japanese Americans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly do. And how their property was, you know, confiscated, how, you know, like you say, put it in internment camps. Actually, camps, basically, is what.
Well, that's what they tried to call them, camps. And they were. They were in the most desolate places that you could find. They put them out there in the middle of the windswept prairies and et cetera. And, of course, in Minnesota, they put them down on by the Minnesota River in low-laying lands. People were there from January 1942, certainly February of 1942, until August of 1945. And we don't talk about that in this country, okay? And when I get to hearing some of my black leaders talking in terms of how well things are and et cetera, man, Donald Trump has read the documents that were forwarded by later to be a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, Earl Warren, God bless him, who was the what, gentlemen? He was the martial law administrator for all of the Western United States. I repeat again, he was the martial law administrator. And many felt that Earl Warren, even after he became chief judge, participated in Brown versus Topeka, that he never felt, and we were analyzing and reviewing, gentlemen, his memoirs about 4 hours ago in preparation for this program. I had my associates on the West Coast. And Earl Warren never felt good about what it was that he did and participated in, and the damage and the humiliation reaped upon the Japanese people. And by the way, if you were a Japanese male, the only way that you could get out of those camps was by joining the United States Army and being deployed to the European theater, because the position of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was that we couldn't trust the little yellow bastards to fight in the Pacific. And, you know, folks need to study their history a little bit. Oh, yeah, those are in the memoirs of of some of the quote-unquote great, particularly MacArthur, who was an expert on the Oriental, if you will. But I have to say that as I'm watching these developments in Charlotte, North Carolina, I know that that someone will want to say or call in or text Mr. Allen or one of us and say, man, that can't happen in America. Well, it did happen, buddy. It happened to two Pacific groups because we were always slaves, but it happened to the Native Americans when the quote-unquote founding fathers or whatever they were called arrived here, and it happened to the Japanese Americans starting in January and February of 1942.
That, you know,
I guess we're not supposed to talk about that. But, Mr. Allen, give a phone number one more time in case there's anybody out there that want to call and question us or get additional information.
Sure, that phone number is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904.
Yes, and for those of you that may be just joining us, we are following closely and have been for the last hour or so. The initiation of state of emergency in Charlotte, North Carolina. National Guard are on the move. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, it just rings so hollow to me when you see the, you know, the behavior of this country and how they, on the one hand, say how they're going to all these foreign lands to help these people fight for their freedom. When you know that that's more than likely not true, that they're going over there to fight to take something from these people. I mean,
that's what Libya was all about, wasn't it? You see the chaos that now represents itself in Libya. How often were we told that all we need to do is get rid of Gaddafi and everything will be okay? Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I mean. That's why it rings so hollow. And, you know, such a noble gesture of Colin Kaepernick to say, you know what, when are we ever really look at this thing? That's all he's saying.
Yeah.
And he's taking all kinds of flak, very peaceful, very trying to draw attention as one man, as only one. He's doing, with one man, he's doing, I mean, more work than this country has done.
That's right.
To change their tenor, to change direction,
hey,
show something
right.
of substance that they really want to change things around. Right?
I need to throw, Mr. Allen, go ahead, man.
I know you were getting some calls. Go ahead. What's up?
I need to throw a ringer in there about what M is talking about. Now, M, you're talking about the young football player that's been taking a knee in all the games. And it's funny you're saying this because he has been doing more than the whole nation's been doing. But have you heard a whisper from the NAACP or National Urban League?
No, we have
anywhere?
Not. And actually, that was what was in the back of my mind when I raised the question about Black Lives Matter, because his girlfriend, Kaepernick's girlfriend in San Francisco, is head of Black Lives Matter in San Francisco. And I found it very puzzling that Black Lives Matter, particularly given all the money that they've received, that they have not said anything. And Mr. Allen is absolutely correct. There has been nothing from the Urban League or the NAACP.
Very curious. Yeah, who's going to stand behind this? You'd think those organizations would be the first in line.
Yeah, well, they're you know, they've been on the take for so long that they've become virtually irrelevant. I mean, I know last Saturday I proposed that they tear down the building on 10 in Plymouth and put a parking lot there. So we'll see what happens.
I told Mr. Allen they can't do that because half of that building is owned by the city of Minneapolis, because that was the agreement that they had to make in order to get the final $1 million, or that the general contractor would not sign the lien waiver. So half of that building has always been owned by the city of Minneapolis.
We have a caller.
Let's get the caller.
Okay.
And M, want to thank you.
The caller just hung up.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were just in the queue. Just wanted to listen. What they wanted to see if this was a pre-recorded program or if we were live.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. They're showing a black suspect in with no T-shirt, who's handcuffed. But again, in Charlotte, North Carolina, as we speak, a state of emergency has been called. And has been ordered. It should not call, but ordered. and National Guard troops are en route from at least four armories in basically eastern North Carolina in support of security forces in Charlotte. You know, I wonder how the rest of the world looks at this one, and as you said it so well a little while ago, M, the hypocrisy of this country. I wonder how the BBC that Mr. Allen has mentioned, the French national radio thing, the Dutch, the Germans, particularly the Germans, who are very opinionated, I wonder how they, and then I wonder how nations of color, such as China, even Japan, if you will, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, who I wonder how they're reporting tonight, because in most of those, in some of those places, it's now daytime, right? I wonder how they're reporting this racial conflict, this state of emergency, casualties, fatalities in Charlotte, fatalities in a place called Tulsa, Oklahoma, et cetera. I'd like to hear their commentators.
Yeah, and we have our caller live on air. Caller, go ahead real quick.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Caller,
oh, yeah, Brother Nelson, how you doing? Again, thank you, Em. Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Nelson. What we got, brother?
You know, real quickly, gentlemen, I just appreciate you guys bringing an insightful show as usual. You know, Rome is burning here, man. We are in a state of emergency indeed, Mr. Edwards. As you said, that was very eloquent, you know, that to say. When you think about we're being gunned down, and Mr. Allen, you did a fantastic job today all over your social media promoting the fact that black men are becoming an endangered species. We absolutely, and I'll lead the charge of talking about black-on-black crime, but we have to talk about black men becoming targets of certain police departments of certain cities and certain states. And when you have white talking heads making these gentlemen talk, now one of them allegedly had a pistol. They say he had a book, a gun. That remains to be seen. We'll see. That may well be a justified homicide. But, Mr. Crutcher, you can't tell me that that was justified. You know, now you're claiming that the man was high on PCP. So I guess now if you're high on any drug, that means your life should end.
Let me also say this, because I know that our caller from Tulsa wanted to get that in, but we were watching events unfold in Charlotte. One of the things that they've done to Mr. Crutcher today is that they pointed out that he did serve 4 years in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary allegedly for a drug conviction. I kind of wondered how they were playing out the PCC. Now, the problem is that he is a great gospel singer, gentlemen, and he had really turned his life around, and his sister, his twin sister, who was a PhD, had said that all day today. And I kind of wondered until our source in Oklahoma pointed out, and I apologize to them that we did not take the time, but we, like I said, these stories were breaking. That's the latest thing, is that they're talking about, well, he was convicted of a crime. So I guess that justifies. So I said, oh, okay. So the white police officer, just like she knew the PCC was in the truck,
exactly.
Right, she also knew that he was a convicted felon. He was well-loved and respected, particularly in the religious community, the ecumenical community, and particularly in music. And, in fact, that gentleman, that's what he was studying. He had just entered college at age 40, man. And, you know, but. See, they're already doing a job on him, Mr. Nelson, by saying, well, he was fooling with drugs. Every black person that gets killed in this country is, you know, either fooling with drugs or got a gun or is a gangster.
Or had a weapon, exactly. And no, exactly. No wonder. And it's sad that they maliciously malign the character of these gentlemen. Again, they want us to wait till all the evidence unfolds. But we say the same thing. Quit trotting out his past history. Everyone has a past. We all have past, some things we're not proud of.
That's
Does that
right.
mean that we should be gunned down in cold blood? Oh, I forgot. She feared for her life. Where have I heard that before? How about every crime and every time that a black man is killed, the officer feared for his life because the alleged the victim had a gun? You know, one thing I will say, because I know you guys got to go, is we do need to calm for a little bit of calm. we need to band together. This is why local elections are so important, to make sure that we elect these people that are in charge of this grant.
All right. And Mr. Nelson, appreciate you taking the time to call. You're absolutely correct. And we're going to close out with We Shall Overcome. And God, please remember those most two recent African-Americans and apparently a third tonight who have been shot and killed in this country in the name of, quote-unquote, law and order. Thank you. Thank you. Take us home, Mr. Allen.
We shall overcome.